Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. This is Weekly Comics Spotlight number 581 for comics originally released on September 26th, 2018. We're recording this episode in advance, and we're breaking from our usual format of DC, Marvel, Other, and discussing three comics not published by DC or Marvel.
Our first comic is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 31 from Boom Studios. Now, we reviewed Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Shattered Grid number 1 a couple of weeks ago, and that ended on a note of finality for the universe.
Yes, it did.
And kind of a fade to white, and we'll rebuild the universe afterwards.
And here, I'm assuming it's being rebuilt on this issue 31, I guess it is.
Kind of, sort of. I actually have a slightly different theory as to what might be going on.
Yeah, because I have no clue what was going on. I was trying to read this. I'm like, is this being rebuilt? Because it was weird to me.
This is the first of what they're calling the Beyond the Grid, because the whole Shattered Grid thing ended. And on the cover, we've got six Rangers that are the new team here, but it is, see if I can get these right. In the center, we've got what was the Ranger Killer or whatever. It's an alternate version of the original Mighty Morphin Pink Ranger from another parallel world. So it's Kimberly Hart there as this new Pink Ranger. In no order whatsoever, we've got, upper right, we've got the yellow Zeo Ranger, which I think was Tanya, but I could be wrong. Going down to the bottom, we've got the red Space Ranger, or Ranger in Space, whichever. Above him, we've got the green Samurai Ranger from Ninja Storm. Above him, we've got the Magna Defender from Power Rangers Lost Galaxy. And then in the bottom right is, I believe they're calling this one the Dino Charge Dark Ranger. That's actually a new Ranger.
Oh, okay. Well, thank God you knew who they were. I knew who none of these people were. My second Power Ranger comic. Second,
yes.
Power Ranger exposure ever.
And probably not the most accessible for us to have picked for it, I hear.
Definitely not.
He's a new Ranger in terms of there hasn't been a Power Ranger for him, but that costume was used over in Super Sentai, okay. Whereas this version of Kimberly is a new costume design original to the comics.
Ah.
Now, going into this, I had a couple of questions from Shattered Grid. Is this a universe or a multiverse? Are the events of Shattered Grid remembered, or did they just kind of get erased from history? Is the timeline like what it was on the TV show or not? And why these Rangers?
Okay.
And I'm not going to say we got answers to all of those. We got answers to some of those.
Well, they seem to be aware that there's no grid.
They're aware of no grid, and they clearly remember the events of Shattered Grid.
Yes, they remember that stuff.
Because this picks up from the fade to white or whatever, and we come back, and there's a mention of universes plural, and that the Morphin Grid survived.
Yes.
Which is good. However, these people aren't there. They're elsewhere. We're not totally sure where yet.
Yeah, it seems like they're kind of just floating through empty space right now on a ship.
This had me thinking I should have rewatched the Lost Galaxy opening episode, because the Promethea here, this big ship, is Terra Venture, which was the setting for Lost Galaxy. And it was basically, we're going to put a space colony out there, and it winds up elsewhere in space. So conceptually fairly similar to this.
Okay.
Now, they go with the first couple of pages with a lot of kind of status quo, what's going on, you're coming in as the ship is surviving the events of Shattered Grid, and we get a couple of shots of various Rangers here and there as they're piecing together what's going on. So from an Easter egg point of view, there's plenty of stuff here. I'll be honest, I didn't take the time to go kind of mark which characters that we were seeing here and whatnot, because this is a mishmash of characters from across multiple seasons.
Yeah, there are a lot of people here, and it's assumed by the writer or that you know who a lot of these people are.
Yeah, because I think they could have actually introduced a couple of them. There are a couple that are being called by name, like Tyler or whatever, but unless you know he was the Dino Charge Red Ranger, You don't know he was the Dino Charge Red Ranger.
Oh, yeah. That's where I was. I was just like, I don't know who these people are and what's going on. So I just ran into that, and I understand.
But I don't think it was relevant to the story either.
Correct.
So I'll give them that. But when we get the introduction of this new Dark Ranger, which I don't know they ever call him that in this comic, which to me is actually a strike against the book.
Okay.
They should have introduced at least the key Rangers by name.
Yeah, you would think so. Yeah, and that's an interesting character. I'm like, who in the heck is this?
And that's one that even I think a lot of Power Ranger fans may be a little lost on. Although they kind of introduce him, they kind of don't in one respect. So I know who I think is going to be, but some of that is also from the Power Morphicon presentation that they did as to what Boom Studios is doing here.
Is that just by the layout of the armor and stuff and the way it looks?
Some of it's that, some of it is by a subtle term or two, subtle thing done okay. In the dialogue.
Okay.
There's some clues there if you know what to look for and to listen for.
Okay.
But if you don't, you don't. And it's easy not to.
Hey, me, I'm the clueless.
I'll be honest, there were a couple of times I actually went to the Power Rangers wiki to go look up a couple of things just to double check certain things are what I thought they were. Because again, we've got just a ton of characters here, being kind of tossed in, and it's an ensemble, it's almost like a post-apocalyptic Power Ranger story.
Oh yeah, and for Marguerite Bennett to be writing this, she must be a real big fan.
More so than I had realized. I would not have pegged her for one, to be honest.
Me neither. I thought this would be more like, you know, when they've wrapped up Shattered Grid, this would be more new reader friendly, like a jumping on point, and she seems pretty hardcore.
I was hoping it would be more reader-friendly than it was, to be honest. I was a little disappointed by that. I also don't know that the art style is going to attract a lot of new readers or kids or fans of the show or whatever.
Yeah, one thing I had a question on, and I know you don't know this because we won't know until the final copy comes out. We're reading review copies. I know that the art that we have in another review copy was much rougher than what it's really like in the book. I wonder if this is just a rough art that they threw out there. I don't know.
I don't think so.
So you think this will be final art? Okay.
Other than the watermark we've got in there.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, because the art was kind of iffy in a few places.
It was a little murky.
Yes.
Not bad. There are a couple
it's
like...
It's not horrible. I've seen way worse.
Yeah, but I've seen way better, too.
Oh, yeah.
There are a couple that when they're doing like the scene in the main deck and we're seeing shots of various people, some of the people I recognized because, well, the guy with the cowboy hat. Oh, yeah, I remember the ranger with the cowboy hat. One or two others, it's like, okay, she's blonde. That narrows it down a little, but there have been a lot of blonde female Power Rangers, so not that much.
Yeah. By the way, quick question. What is a Zord? Z-O-R-D. What is a Zord?
A Zord is their big giant robot.
Oh, they said, oh, we have no more Morphers and no Zords. And I thought the Morphers were what they turned into, the robots. Okay, so it's the Zords that are the things.
The Morphers are the devices they use to do the change.
Ah, all right, gotcha. I was reading that, I'm like, what the heck? This is like a foreign language I'm reading.
And technically, a lot of them still have their Morphers. They just don't have access to the morphing grid to power it.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, thank you. You've helped me.
But I think they're assuming a certain amount of in knowledge that this is a good jumping on point that they could have made more accessible.
Oh, yeah. And this, it didn't say jumping on point. It doesn't say new reader friendly. So, you know, I can't expect that going into this. This is really written for people who are fans of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I think it's actually written for people who are fans of the whole franchise, not just that one season or three seasons.
Correct. Yeah, the Go-Go Power Rangers, the Saban, all those different things.
Well, actually, Go-Go Power Rangers is the other comic. Saban is the people who made the Power Rangers.
Oh. All right, see, I don't even know that. All right.
Well, I mean, again, there's Lost Galaxy, there's Ninja Storm, there's Dino Charge, there's In Space, there's... I could probably go through all 25 seasons, but you'd get bored quickly, I think.
Yeah. You can't see me. I'm beating my head against my table right now. Just kidding.
They should have had this set up for people who are aware that Power Rangers exist, maybe saw the movie, but aren't familiar with the TV show, that this should have been a good on-ramp.
Yeah, I actually should go and watch the movie because I never even watched the movie, so I'm just lost when I read this. I'm like, what's going on?
You could do that, or if you've got a Netflix subscription, they've got all of the Power Rangers stuff on there, and just watch a couple of the first episodes.
And that'll help explain it to me.
Yeah.
All right.
Certainly, if you watch the original and a Mighty Morphin, you'll get an idea of what the Zords are. Maybe the first one or two per season. Sometimes it takes two episodes to really get going.
All right.
But I think this is one that they tried to be kind of accessible. It's just it'd be like hopping into a new Star Trek comic, not knowing what Star Trek is at all.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I am. I just don't have that background.
What they're doing here is interesting, it's fun, and it's the kind of story that I think makes a good comic, because I don't think they could do this as a TV show. For one, the cast is just too big.
Oh, yeah. There's 30, 40 people in here. It's crazy.
And I'm curious why certain Rangers are the ones they're focusing on versus the others. I hope we learn that in time. This was basically a setup, the basic status quo kind of issue.
Correct.
It did surprise me a little when they're saying, gosh, we've got limited power for morphing and we've got this distress call. We're heroes. We've got to go save them. It's just what we do. We can't lose sight of that. So the first thing they do is morph.
Yeah.
Wait until you get there. Wait till you get in trouble. Then morph. That's what you always do on the show.
No, they just do it right there.
At least they got all the different colors and stuff, so that was kind of cool. They didn't go all red heavy or blue heavy or whatever. Where this ended up, there was a reveal as to something new about this sector of space or wherever they are. This is yet another new major character they seem to be introducing. I appreciate that Boom is continuing to kind of expand the franchise and not just be beholden to what was handed to them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely a new character in here, and we don't know who they are yet. Or
yeah.
Anything about them.
Like even their name yet.
Yeah, no name, no nothing. They have a pretty cool uniform, though.
Yeah, well, I wish we got a better kind of reveal of it.
Yeah, it's there, just, yeah, kind of chopped up a little bit.
And some of that may also be a little of the watermark we got in the PDF.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because it does it in such a weird way. The colors are really hot.
Part of being a teleport in shot, too, for the splash page.
That could be it, too, because I was looking at it, I was like, what in the heck's going on with this? It just looks weird.
What has me curious is where there's one ranger, there's usually a half dozen or so. So, maybe we'll see more. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like you'll have some bad rangers fighting these rangers, I'm guessing.
Wouldn't be the first time. I enjoyed this. I thought it was good. I think there were a couple of things they could have done a little bit better and frankly should have as a first issue of a new arc by a new creative team. They should have said, hey, let's assume people have heard about Shattered Grid. Maybe they didn't jump on for that, but they're going to jump on here and try it out. So I think they could have made it, and like I said, should have made it a little more accessible. For me, as somebody who's steeped not only in the comics but in the show, I really enjoyed this. I think they did a lot of fun stuff, and this is another creator that's really showing a love and respect for the property, which I appreciate.
Well, it makes sense. And for me, I'm looking at it, and I'm basing my grade that I'm going to give you on this based on the writing style and how I think she handled it. And I think that the Shattered Grid was written much better than this book was.
I think so, too. And I think part of it is they're throwing together a ton of characters and just the reintroduction of the main half dozen plus the four or five major supporting characters, not to mention all the ones they sprinkle throughout. None of them really get a chance to get defined in this issue.
Yeah, it felt like they jumped from this character to this character to this character. Nobody got fleshed out. It was just like, I don't know what's going on here. I mean, they were trying to tell you in little pieces, almost like on one page you could have three different dialogue sections going on that were completely unrelated. It was very weird.
I think that's a
just too many characters.
Well, yeah, definitely too many characters. But I think it's a common problem of comics that are adapting from a TV show. They're assuming you've watched the show and you already know the characters. So they don't kind of do character building as much, but I think they do here. Because some of them, these characters haven't really been seen in some cases for a decade or more.
Wow.
Or two in one or two cases. But also, it's kind of that ensemble apocalypse kind of a show where it takes a while to kind of lay the scene. I mean, think back to Lost and how long it took us to really get to know any of the characters.
Yeah, it's true. It took a long time.
So I think there's some of that. Or Heroes is a good example. You look at the first half season, it's like, are these stories ever going to connect? Here they've all connected, but it's like, are we ever going to flesh out the characters?
So we got to give it time.
I think so.
Yes.
I think if you're looking for a space saga with a superhero bent, this may or may not work for you. Like I said, I'm finding it fun. I thought it was good. For me, I'm going to go with a B-. I will say that that backup story with Blue Centurion and Ninjor didn't really do anything for me, but it was 2 pages, so I didn't kind of count plus or minus for it.
Yeah, that one I was kind of like, what? It didn't, yeah, just some extra stuff put on there. I'm like, what is this? 2 pages of nothing. But
it was picking up a story that they had been doing for the last couple of issues.
Oh, okay. And I'm like reading. I'm like, what's going on here? All right. And with the rest of the book. No, with me, it's so hard to grade just because I don't have the background knowledge and the passion that I know you do. So I go based on how I feel that she wrote it for me coming in, not knowing anything. And I didn't know everything that was going on in Shattered Grid, but I could tell there was emotional moments. I could tell there was stuff going on, and I could tell he wrote it very well, which is why I went in the B territory. And here I went with a C-, just because I felt like, for me, it was an average comic, and for me, it's a little bit below average because it's just no introduction at all.
I can totally understand that. I think if I were coming into this cold, I'd be like, I don't know who any of these characters are or why I should care about them. I don't get what's going on. It took a little too much for granted, and because it was effectively, in theory, a reboot of the universe, while it's not a true number one, they're saying it's a new era, it should have been more accessible. And I think
I agree.
It was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, Marguerite Bennett is not one of my go-to writers. You know, if I see her name on something, it's not like, oh, I got to read that. And it's just because she tends to skew as an average writer for me with the majority of what she does.
I can understand that. I will say there were aspects of this that it was kind of what I was hoping for in terms of a cross-section of Rangers from the different teams mixing together. So I'm enjoying that. But I think, and part of my theory on this is I'm not sure that this may be happening coinciding with the later half of Shattered Grid. Where the others are still in that dream world or whatever.
That could be.
So I don't know how long they're going to be here.
Yeah. Because right now we don't know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, we don't even know where Fear is.
Exactly. Confusion.
But they did stay true to a lot of the tenets of the franchise and use them in new ways. So I think they get some credit for that. But
definitely.
Again, I can see where you were coming at it from not accessible enough.
I'm going to have to just bite the bullet and watch like a couple or three episodes of the Power Rangers show on Netflix. Just so I know what in the heck's going on. Or what the terminology is when I'm reading this stuff.
Watch a few episodes, like the first episode or so of a couple of seasons.
Okay.
And usually it's an episode, if it ends on a cliffhanger, then watch the second to get the full of the intro or whatever, the pilot, if you will, for the series. And you'll get a good cross-section as to the different tones and styles and types of Rangers.
Okay.
Would you be game for maybe doing Go-Go Power Rangers number 14?
Maybe. I'll try and watch some stuff, but, you know, with me going out of the country pretty soon, I can't guarantee I'll watch that.
That's fine. It would be
maybe
after
in the future.
We get back. It'd be after we get back.
Yeah. What I'll do is I'll try to watch, like, a couple episodes so I know at least the terminology and what these guys do.
Perseus Don on the forum has been doing that, actually, and also watching one or two of the Super Sentai things over at Shout Factory's website.
Oh, okay.
So, maybe at some point we'll get a couple of people on and we'll do a compare and contrast and discussion on the two franchises.
All right, cool.
So we'll see.
All right.
Shall we move on to our next comic?
Yeah, another thing that I haven't read.
This is one that I have read and I should have taken better notes. This is Catalyst Prime Incidentals number 12. As is going to be a recurring theme of late, I read Catalyst Prime Incidentals 5 through 11 to prep for this.
I laughed.
Basic note I took, and I should have taken more, this is kind of the X-Men, DP7, Harbinger kind of a group.
Yeah.
It's kind of, for lack of a better term, I'm going to call it the corporate superheroes.
Yeah. And what was weird is not having read an issue of this stuff, and this one being issue 12, which is also volume 3, number 3, I kind of picked up on what was going on because I know superheroes.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so I mean, it wasn't completely like where I felt like it was in a foreign land.
That's good. I will say that the volume 3, number 3 kind of numbering drives me nuts.
Oh, and they do it a lot, Lionforge, because I'm reading that Infinity 8 series, and they keep doing that. Like every 3 issues, it's another volume number 1, 2, 3, and then another volume 1, 2, 3. It's volume number 9, volume 3, number 3. It's like, good lord.
The problem I have with it, and Eric at Cowabunga can attest to this, is at one point I'm like, I forget if he mentioned it to me or I mentioned it to him, but we both realized that I had missed two issues of one of the books.
Oh, no.
Because when it switched volumes, it switched series code under the hoods in Diamond's data, which meant all the pull list stuff was treating it as if it were a different title.
Oh, that's frustrating.
We got it squared away, but it's like, just if you're going to number them, number them.
And I don't know why they do this, because this is another title that I see they're doing this on. They like to, I guess it's to get that number one, but at the same time have the legacy number. They're doing a Marvel right now.
I think it's also to tie it into the trades.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
If you've read Volume 3 of the trade, you don't need this. If you've read this, you don't need Volume 3 of the trade, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. And I have to say one funny thing. I went to the very first page of this comic, and I wondered if you were going to comment on the faces in the background. The no faces.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask, if you looked at the cover and you looked at the first page of art, were you okay with that? Because the cover is fairly photorealistic.
The cover was amazing. I was like, wow, this is cool. And then I went to the first page, and I was like, this doesn't look anything like the cover.
The art here is not particularly strong, in my opinion. It tells the story,
yeah,
but it's not as polished as a typical like Marvel or DC comic.
No, this one was a little bit rougher. And I've seen some good stuff from Lion Forge, but mostly they're Euro titles that they're just translating. But yeah, this one was kind of rough. It's very... the detail, the scale is off, the angles, like the cars, they look really weird, like misshapen.
Well, the other thing is the girl who's got the green hair or whatever,
yeah.
I think her name is Seven. I couldn't tell how old she was either here in the early 2000s or current day, but from the previous series, I didn't think she was old enough to be old enough to go to a party with drinking in the early 2000s.
Yeah, you can't tell how old she is in here at all. Yeah, it's off.
Let's say she's 18 here at the very least, and that's at least a decade ago to be in the early 2000s, probably 15 years ago. That puts her in her 30s present day. I mean, it's a nitpick, but...
She looks the same.
Yeah, I think the art wasn't up to what the story wanted to be conveying.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. When I was first reading this, I was like, wow, it almost seemed like a horror type thing, you know, happening. You know, you have all these people going to a party, these young girls, and then you see, like, one of the girls getting towed off. It looks like she's been roofied. And the other girl's, like, noticing it, getting creeped out. And the girl with the green hair, Seven, I guess her name is like, leave me alone. I'm trying to have fun. I'm like, this girl's trying to help you out, and you want to have fun. It sounds like something teenagers would do. It's like, good lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the smartest of people.
No.
This, I don't think it's one of the best titles that Catalyst Prime is doing, but they're doing a handful of superhero titles. And the guy who's kind of leading the charge on this was one of the people behind Milestone. So they're trying to have a nice diverse cast, trying to have different sorts of characters, and a different angle on superheroes, which I generally appreciate and enjoy. I think some of the previous issues of this title have been stronger than this.
Okay.
I think that this issue, again, coming in kind of mid-arc, not as accessible as maybe it could be, and I do think this title is being written for the trade, which makes a lot of individual issues a little less fulfilling than they otherwise could be.
Yeah, I can see that. This definitely, I can tell, is being written for the trade, and they're numbering the volume thing. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. At the same time, I do like some of the powers. I like how the green hair girl, I go by how they look because I can't remember names, and I sometimes write them down, and oftentimes they're not even spoken about in here. How she amplifies other people's powers and some of the stuff they can do. They have a person that looks like Beast from the X-Men in here. So there's some cool stuff in there. So this is kind of like the X-Men title of the Lion Forge universe.
Very much so. It's definitely the team book. And it kind of, in my mind, reads like a television cable network superhero show.
Yeah, it really does. And like I said, this didn't totally turn me off, even though I don't know who people are. I guess it's because I'm more superhero-oriented that they kind of explained this is what they do. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, you may not have had the full context, and you were coming in midstream, but you could tell what was going on. You understood the plot points, and the story made sense by and large, and it was a decent story. I mean, the fact that this is yet another, I mean, we've had people who are feeding on fear before.
Yeah.
But making him a horror movie maker, that was kind of clever. I kind of like that.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, like the his hair's cut into like little horns.
Yeah, he's got an almost demonic aspect to him, and he's huge.
Yeah.
So I like what they're doing, in the fact that some of these characters, like the older guy with the suit and stuff, he's a police detective. He can find things. He's got tracking powers.
Yeah.
That's new. That's different. They're not just trying to do the standard, you know, by the numbers superhero team.
Yeah, it's different. And this made me, I wouldn't say this made me like, wow, I got to read this entire title, but it made me open to this prospect of maybe if I have time, you know, I'm caught up in my reading, I would read this type of stuff because it seemed like it could be a decent read.
That's part of why I wanted to do a couple of different Catalyst Prime titles is a lot of people, it's like, well, if it's not DC or Marvel, I don't bother with superheroes. And I'm like, well, that's kind of limiting.
Yeah, it really is. Because there can be good superhero stuff out there that,
yeah.
And you don't have to read 50 titles to know what's going on, which makes it easier.
Exactly. This is a shared universe with a common origin. I think it was meteors that came down that granted people powers or whatever. But there's really not much in the way of crossovers or cross-continuity or line-wide events or anything.
Yeah. And sometimes I think that's a benefit to the writer and to the reader, especially when we're talking about $3.99 comics. You know, you talk with people about a budget, and they may, let's say I'm reading Captain America, and I'm just going to pick that title. And then they have Civil War. And now to know what's going on with Captain America, something breaks at issue 27. And if I didn't read five other issues out there, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating. Whereas something like this, that's on a smaller scale, yeah, it may not have the big names, but it can be as good sometimes, and you don't have to break the bank.
Exactly. It's something that tends to be, from outside of Marvel and DC with superhero titles, more standalone and a little bit more accessible because it's not got this sprawling tapestry that's decades old or whatever.
Exactly.
Now, the show this reminded me the most of was probably Alphas that was on the Sci-Fi Channel a number of years ago.
Oh yeah, I remember I saw a few episodes of that. I think I watched like a season of it or so.
Yeah, it went for two seasons.
Yeah, and I think after the first season I was done.
I can understand that. It took me a while to get to the second season. It had some good stuff. But
it did. It had some good stuff, and I think I was just watching too much stuff. You know, I have to cut stuff out of my life sometimes.
No, I can understand that. There's too much to consume. Yeah. Totally. Believe me, I get that. I think this could have and should have had a little stronger art, but I don't think it was bad art. Earlier in this run, they had set up some of the characters and then dumped them, whatever. There's a bit more of the melodrama of is the team forming or not. So I think there's a bigger picture to be had. But they do a good job, like in this issue, of having stuff happen and moving the story forward without it feeling like filler.
Yeah, yeah. And I would say the big win for this is here I am, volume 3, number 3, issue 12, and I picked it up, and I don't know everything that's going on, but I know some of the characters, and I know what's going on, and I could just pick up from here and read, and that can't be said with all titles. So I was like, oh, I felt comfortable reading this, and I didn't feel like, oh my god, I what is this? Which means it's somewhat accessible.
Well, and the other thing is it lived up to the solicit. A lot of comics kind of don't.
Yeah,
very true. I give it some credit for that, too.
Cool.
For me, I thought this was fun. It was enjoyable. If I were cutting back, there are a lot of other titles I would keep before this, but there's also a lot of other titles I would cut before this. So I'm going to go with a C-plus on this. It may not be for everybody, but I definitely think the Catalyst Prime stuff is worth checking out, and we'll probably be talking about a few other of those titles in coming weeks.
Yeah. Well, Uncanny tonight with this review, I went with a C-plus, too. I felt like the art is what kept it in the average territory. The writing was decent, and it's something where if I had the time, I had the budget, I would continue to read it.
I would say other issues of this, particularly in the 5 through 11 range, generally were better than this.
No frame of reference, but this was decent, and if those are better, then yeah, it's a decent title then.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. Shall we move on to our next comic?
We shall.
This is Exo Man of War number 19 from Valiant, And once again, I had a lot of reading to do. I caught up from, honestly, I forget where, through issue 18. So I read it, entire previous arc plus at least one or two comics before that.
Yeah. What was funny with this one is I love Exo Manowar, and I've been reading every issue as it comes out. And I read this, I'm like, what the heck's going on? This didn't have anything to do with the last 18 issues I've read.
It did, just not the last arc of it.
Correct. Yeah, it did. It did have stuff to do with it, but it just changed so quickly because we were in ancient Rome.
Well, they seem to be bouncing between, and I don't know if it's an every other arc thing or not, but certainly last arc was a period piece kind of thing set in what, 4th century or whatever. Previous one was modern day on another planet.
Yes.
So he had just come back from that, then this gets set up, or actually they tie it into Harbinger Wars 2, so I went and read that.
Correct, because that's where this kind of picked up, Harbinger War 2. So if you weren't reading that, this definitely, all this stuff at the beginning took place there.
If you're not reading that, what you need to know, because this issue focuses heavily on this Colonel Jamie Capshaw of Gate, she's kind of sort of the Nick Fury of S.H.I.E.L.D. in this universe. In place of a helicarrier, they have the Love Boat, which was helicarrier.
I was like, what the heck, the Love Boat?
Yeah, I think they could have come up with a better name. Any other name, almost.
Exactly.
But we get to know Jamie fairly well in this issue, and she's been around for a while, so the fact that we got this much on her was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, there was a lot on her, and that's why I was like, what changed? Because I remember reading the last episode about a month ago, and then it was all on her. I'm like, where did she come from? I don't remember her being in here. And I was like, oh, okay, now I know what's going on, about halfway through.
Well, it's funny, because that last arc seemed to be a flashback tale setting up a new character in the present day, and I'm like, well, clearly he's going to play in big in this issue, and he didn't.
It
didn't show up at all.
Exactly. It pivoted so quick, because it was more a tie into Harbinger War than the previous issue.
Yeah, it's like they've almost got two different EXO titles they're alternating between. It's weird. I mean, I like the present-day stuff more than the period piece, but that's just me.
Yeah, and I'm a weirdo history guy. I like the period piece.
Exactly. Your tastes are just different. There's nothing right or wrong about that. The basic premise here is this colonel needs to recruit Arik EXO for a mission, or she's getting drummed out of the place because she just had this huge bazillion-dollar base they had, floating base, get destroyed on her watch. Clearly it's all her fault, not all the people who, I don't know, like, destroyed it. But somebody's got to make the fall, and it's not going to be her boss.
Exactly.
So we get some good character moments on this. We get the start of the arc of this alien incursion over Australia that seems to be tying into the Divinity storyline stuff.
Correct.
Which was an interesting thing. Because, again, it's been a little while since the Divinity stuff, too.
Yep.
But they show what the stakes are. They do some good story. They do a lot in this issue, and I appreciate that. And, well, we got a low-res preview copy of this, so it's a little frankly, blurry in a few places. I'm sure it'll be crisper in the final version. The Juan Jose Rip art on this, as usual, is really good stuff.
Oh, he's an amazing artist, and this one they gave us a very rough image to view, because his art is the art in EXO in general is usually breathtaking.
Yeah, and you can tell where it's still that good art. It's just the low res version of this. You don't get all the crisp details.
Exactly. Yeah, it kind of muddies the line work and the details that are going on in there. But there are a lot of good moments in this stuff. I did like this, even though it pivoted very hard. I like the introduction of this new character. I like how she kind of teams up with Arik of Dacia. Arik, I don't know how you say his name.
Either.
Okay. And how they're going off on a new, I guess you could say, adventure, which is really cool. Something different, which ties into some of the characters that you talked about. The, what was it?
Divinity
and the Geomancer, wasn't it?
Was that the one he was looking for?
I think I'm not positive. I was thinking, is that who the girl is that the Sikh guy has in his hand?
He's looking for a princess. I didn't recognize her.
Well, I didn't recognize her, but I'm guessing that that's the Geomancer.
I don't think it is, but I'm not sure. It could be. I'm not sure.
Could be. And like I said, I was guessing because I didn't know who in the heck it was, and he didn't say who it was. It's a lost princess. That's all we know. I was like, huh, is that the Geomancer? Because there's that one comic they came out with that was like $20 on the Geomancer, and I didn't buy it because I wasn't spending $20 on a comic.
I got that, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't this character, but I could be wrong. It's been long enough since I read that. That was the incentive series they did.
Oh, okay, yeah, and it was something like $20 to get the comic, and I was like, I'm not paying that for it. So I will never know.
You made the right choice.
Good. You made me feel
it wasn't
better.
Bad, but it wasn't $20, you know?
Exactly. The one thing that I would say character-wise, which seemed a little bit weird, you know, Eric is coming back to his people. He's been on a planet where this has been kind of an epic line that Matt Kent's been writing. You know, he started as a soldier on a foreign planet. Mm-hmm. He rises up to be a general in the army. He rises up to be a king on the planet. Now he's going back home to be with his people, and they're like, Eric, you know, your people are changing. You know, they're using technology. They're looking at their smartphones. Your wife's fell in love with another man. So, you know, you're built up to this. And then they have that one scene where it's in the town in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Where his wife's out there. And the new guy's standing there, and you see there's a little spat, and he just kind of like, you know, they're fighting, and then he's like, I'm out of here. It was just funny. There was like, it was played out. There was no emotion. It was just the body language. That was, I guess that could have been done differently, better, but he handled it. It was just weird.
There was no dialogue, but there was definitely emotion. And
definitely emotion.
Showed
the body movement. Yeah.
Yeah. There is a backstory that was not in the previous arc, but the one before that.
Yeah.
As to the dynamic between these three.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it was just kind of funny. I was like, I thought they'd have dialogue around that, but you just have to read the body language.
Yeah, it was well done, and it shows a certain amount of acting in the art that we don't often get.
Exactly. So, I think EXO is the best title that Valiant puts out. I do you read a lot of Valiant stuff? Or
I'm behind, but I read almost the entire – as a matter of fact, I think I do read the entire line.
I read most of it. I usually buy those pre-ordered editions, which are crazy. I don't know why I keep buying those. The extra material is not worth it. It's just like sketches and layouts. But I don't know when to not buy them, so I don't know when stuff's running out, so I just keep buying them. But this is always my favorite title. This one is probably the best of all of them. And I think if people aren't reading this, this is a superhero title that, like we were saying with the incidentals, if you can't afford to read Marvel or DC, this is right up there with the best of Marvel and DC, usually EXO Manowar, and a lot of people don't give it a try.
Well, and if you want something that's a different take on it, because this character is as much Conan as he is Iron Man.
Yeah, he's Conan and Iron Man mixed, which is really freaking cool.
I would say with an aspect of John Carter of Mars in there, too.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. For sure.
Right. It's a different look at the character and stuff, and they're doing some fun stuff with it. And I would say it's the flagship of the line. I also enjoy Ninjak and some of the other books they do.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care as much for the period piece arcs as the current day one. Some arcs I really like, some less so. But this is a really good book, and these are the kinds of arcs in it that I really enjoy.
Yeah, and this is the second series since Valiant's been relaunched. The first one was Robert Venditti, and he did an amazing job. And this one was right up there. I was worried when Matt Kent was taking it over, but he's been doing a really, really good job.
Yeah, definitely doing some interesting stuff, both in terms of plot, character, and again, they pair him up with some great art. So.
Oh, yeah.
For me, like I said, I really enjoyed this. It was a lot of fun. I'm curious where they go with this. It was a good kickoff to this storyline. I'm going to go with an A- on this. If you're not checking this out, this is, like I think you said, probably the best book over at Valiant to check out. And they've got a lot of really good stuff.
Wow. Hey, we're in sync tonight. A- for me, too. I really like this. Every arc has been amazing in this. The art is really good. The stories are good. And one thing I was going to mention, because I posted it on the Slack channel, but I know a lot of people, listeners, aren't on the Slack channel, for local comic book day, Valiant is releasing an EXO Manowar hardcover with issues 1 through 18. And it's only for the local comic shops. I don't know what the price was. I put it up there. But if you want to buy it all in hardcover, and then you can start with issue 19 and have the whole thing and be up to speed.
Cool. That's a good deal. And yeah. They do nice hardcovers and such.
Oh, really nice hardcovers. I bought I bought the last series about halfway through in singles, and I was thinking about going back and just buying the, they did like a big omnibus type thing hardcover, picking it all up because I like it so much.
Cool. I can totally see that. I think Valiant's been doing a lot of really good stuff over the years. I get a little frustrated when they'll take a book and put it on hiatus and then come back to that arc, you know, a year and a half, 2 years later, whatever. But they've got, I think, more story they want to tell than books they think they should publish.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're good about limiting the size of their line, and I appreciate that, too.
Oh, yeah. And for you people out there that aren't into the period piece, issue 18 left off with a gladiator fight in an arena where the arena was flooded and they were fighting on boats, which was really cool.
Yeah, it did have some cool stuff for the period piece. I'll grant it that.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
And I want to see when that character pops back up that they introduced.
Me too. I'm really waiting to see how that happens.
Yeah. So I want to thank the publishers that provided us these advanced copies. So thank you, Boom, Lion Forge, and Valiant. This would have been a much, much harder episode to do without these advanced copies.
Yeah, those companies really stepped up the bat. I appreciate them, all those small publishers, and I appreciate you putting forward the work, because you had to go to these guys and scrounge this stuff up. So thank you very much for your help, John.
Oh, happy to do it. Thanks for being willing to try a lot of things. Because, again, not every comic's going to be for everybody. And even if the two of us aren't, you know, gung-ho about something, that doesn't mean it's not right for you. You may like stuff we don't, or just have different expectations or something.
Exactly.
So I like getting as many kind of different titles and publishers out there as possible, and particularly things like Catalyst Prime, where they're taking a concerted effort to do new characters that resemble the cross-section of humanity other than just us white, you know, guys and whatnot, and not doing diversity in terms of let's take an established DC Marvel character and just, you know, replace them with somebody of a different ethnicity.
Oh, yeah.
And there are times that's fine, too. Don't get me wrong. I've found some characters I really enjoy that was their origin, but it's nice when people start kind of with fresh material.
Yeah, I agree. And that was the, for me, the biggest thing getting into DC Comics, you're like, James, why did you never read DC? You know, I sampled a few things. I think it was Justice League Europe when it came out as a number one. And I sampled Aquaman when Peter David left Hulk and went over there to DC. And I read probably like 10 issues of Aquaman. But the hardest thing for me was, I know how much it costs to be all in on Marvel, and I was like, I don't want to spend that much being all in with two companies, so I'm just not going to read anything. And with these small publishers, you can be all in, and it doesn't really cost you that much. And depending on the publisher, and you can check out reviews or listen to our reviews, some of them are just as good or almost just as good as Marvel and DC, and you don't have to spend a ton of money to be all in.
Well, and I think with these other publishers, there's less need to be all in because they don't do as much cross-continuity line-wide. They may do it from time to time, but it's not like you've got to pause every year for the big event.
Yeah, it's very minimal. It's very incidental. Like the first half of this thing, if I didn't know anything about Harbinger War, I would have felt okay reading this X-Men War, and you'd be fine.
I'll be honest. At the end of the first arc where it was going, okay, we need you to help out with this, and Harbinger's coming up, Harbinger War's coming up, I'm like, well, geez, I better stop and read these issues, you know. And I was bouncing between the two until I realized they don't tie in whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know? So I read the prelude and the four issues of Harbinger War that I didn't need to read to prep for this.
Like, I didn't have to read that stuff. Crap.
I was going to read it at some point, so it's just a question of when.
They made you get caught up a little bit.
Yeah. Not a bad thing.
Yeah.
So by the time this episode goes up, I will be, on October 8th, crossing the international date line. Now, what that means is I'm losing the next day to the time zones because I guess I'm crossing it the wrong way. But I am going to be doing that on the way over to Japan. Decided to go by sea versus by plane because I'm hoping the jet lag is not as bad. We'll see.
It's pretty horrible.
It's going to be rough coming back. I know that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to have a lot of longer days or a lot of shorter days, and it goes, I don't know. Clearly, one day I'm just losing out of the whole deal, so I'm not sure I totally worked it out right.
So you're going to be in Japan, and I'll be in South Africa.
That should be fun for you. I hope you have a good trip.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
So just some quick housekeeping. There is no preview spotlight deadline. Hopefully everybody figured that out since we've already done the preview spotlight for October. That actually is going to be the next episode that goes up after this, followed by the question and answer episode number 2, which is episode 1500 of the Comic Book Page podcast. So that was a fun episode to record. Hopefully people will enjoy that. And I thought the format for the preview spotlight of, you know, what comics should you be reading and why. It was fun. It worked out. And hopefully people enjoy that episode too.
Cool.
So anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
That pretty much does it.
Cool.
Join us next time as we discuss Archie number 699 from Archie, Catalyst Prime Noble number 12 from Lion Forge, and Glacier City number 1 from PanelSyndicate.com.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.